boys and girls, and of course everyone gets to listen. That's the great thing about children's addresses, is that we all get to listen. But we've been thinking about some of the interesting facts about the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. I'm sure that you'll remember we've seen how that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was foretold for thousands of years before he came. Before he came as that little baby in the manger. And we've also seen how it is that the scriptures tell us very clearly that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a supernatural event. So these two things are in our minds already. It has been foretold for thousands of years that Jesus would come. And when he came, it was very miraculous. The birth of our Saviour was a miraculous birth. And today, I want to remind us of some of the witnesses that were present at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. Now, I don't think anybody is going to be too surprised as to who these witnesses are. I don't know if some of the younger people could tell me who they think I might be referring to with the witnesses to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got three in mind particularly. Any guesses? Who was a witness to the birth of Christ?
Mary.
Good. No. That wasn't one of my three.
The angels and the shepherds and the wise men.
You've got all three.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. I was thinking about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. Those were the three that I wanted to draw our attention to this morning. But if you've got other witnesses, then you can add them to this as well. First one I wanted to think about with you was the angels. And first of all, there was one angel, just one angel, it seems, appeared, who came and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, you know, you could have put that under your heading of miraculous. And that's right, because it's not every day that an angel comes and tells us something. But this angel came and he announced the birth of Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. We find this principally in the second chapter of Luke. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So the first announcement to the world in general was the coming of this angel to attest and to witness the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's appropriate that the angel said, "Fear not," because I suspect that there was a lot of fear, a lot of being afraid as far as these shepherds were concerned. But here he was, the long awaited, the long prophesied Messiah had come. And the angel expressly says that this one who was born was Christ the Lord. That's the name that the angel gave to the baby. Christ the Lord. And I want you to notice something as well. That the angel said he was already a Saviour when he came. Sometimes we think that the Lord Jesus Christ became the Saviour when he died on the cross. Well, not according to the angel. The angel who came to announce the birth of Jesus said, "This day in the city of David a Saviour is born, which is Christ the Lord." And suddenly, in the presence of the angel, was a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." These angels came from heaven in order to witness or to declare the birth of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that those angels understood something very important, that sometimes men and women today still fail to understand. The thing that the angels declared in the coming of the Saviour that was Christ the Lord was this: glory to God in the highest. The highest possible glory went to God for the coming of the Saviour. We need to remember the true source and origin of all the blessings and the gifts and the goodness of God. The fact that Jesus Christ came as a Saviour is God's glory. The fact that we find the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Saviour is a glory to God. And the angels declared the glory of God in the coming of this little child. The second group that I have in mind is the shepherds. And I think it's very interesting that the shepherds came to common people. I like that. I like that the angels came and declared this revelation to these common, ordinary men and perhaps women also. The gospel, the good news of Christ's coming into the world, the good news of a Saviour to take away the sins of the world, the good news of the fact that Christ the Lord is come, it came to poor people, poor sinners who needed to know this message. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in his own ministry, came to and for and amongst the poor. Did you ever think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the King of Glory, who walked in those wonderful places in heaven and in glory, did not come to a palace when he was born, did not come to a mansion, but he came to a stable. He came to a manger. He came amongst the animals. He came amongst the dirt. And there he was born in a manger amongst the poor. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, one of the first things that the Lord Jesus Christ says when he is speaking to his disciples and speaking to John's disciples is that the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, we need to be poor when we come before God. If we think we are rich, if we think that we are clever, if we think that we are worthy in any way, if we think that we've got anything to recommend us to God, then that has to be taken away from us. And I tell you this, that if we are the Lord's people, that will be taken away from us. For we must come before God as poor, needy sinners. We must come humbly before God. For ye know, says the Apostle Paul, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. And here we see the great substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and taking our poverty upon himself, that we might be made rich in the grace of God. What did the shepherds do when the angels came and spoke to them. How did they become witnesses? They heard the good news from the angel who was a messenger to them from God, and they went to see the baby that was spoken of. They heard the good news and they went to Jesus. There's a lovely picture there, you know, of the gospel being preached to men and women and boys and girls. It is as the gospel is preached, it is as the word of truth is declared, it is as the witness is given that men and women come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls are invited and encouraged to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had found the Lord personally for themselves, they told others. You see, you can't contain this message, this good message of Christ the Lord, our Saviour. And when these men saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they went to their neighbours, they went to their friends, and they told others. They became witnesses themselves of the Lord Jesus Christ to their families and to their friends. They said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The angels and the shepherds and the third group of witnesses are the wise men. And these two were witnesses of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, though perhaps they came a little bit later than the shepherds. I know we sometimes see pictures of the shepherds and the wise men all around the manger, and I don't think actually that's the way that it happened. For the sake of the picture and getting everyone in, I suppose you can see why it's done like that. But these people came a little bit later because it took them quite a long time to find Mary and Jesus. Do you know that sometimes some people are too clever for their own good? Do you know that? We like to be clever. We like to be wise and smart. But sometimes we get too clever for our own good. And sometimes people look for Jesus in the wrong place. They look for salvation in the wrong place. They look to please God in the wrong place. Have you ever heard of looking for Jesus in the wrong place? I think we all look for Jesus in the wrong place. I think sometimes it can take us a long, long time to truly find him. I think we look to religion or to church membership or to our own efforts or to our own good works or to a whole host of things. And we imagine that in some way, if we do this or do that or live like this or live like that, that in some way we will find Jesus. Well, these wise men went to the wrong place. So much for them being wise. They went to see Herod the king. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." And as men and women and as boys and girls, that must be the way, except we all become as little children. "Come unto me," says the Lord. Well, these wise men did finally find Jesus, but only after there had been quite a detour for them. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we read this, "And when they were come into the house," see, that's the clue there, it wasn't the stable. They had come to the house. This was sometime after the birth of Christ. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ and they saw Mary. There's no reference to there being anyone else present. There was no Joseph, for example. And perhaps this was in the Lord's good providence, just to reveal to them that this child was indeed very special. He was the Son of God. And they bowed down to Christ. They bowed down on their faces. They bowed down on their knees in front of this little baby. And they worshipped him as the King. That's an extraordinary thing that these men did. They had quite an insight and an understanding. And I guess that's where their wisdom lay. They saw in this child one who was worthy of their worship. And we must always remember that. This is one area of the wise men's actions that it is good for us to emulate and to copy. Let us remember that we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with worship. And he is the only one worthy of our worship, for he is God. They brought their gifts. They brought gold, a gift fit for a king. They brought frankincense and myrrh, which are kinds of incense or perfume and ointments. And I find it interesting that myrrh has such a wide-ranging presence in the life of the Lord Jesus. Myrrh gives a sweet smell, but it has a bitter taste. And it was present at the beginning, and it was present at the end of the Lord's life. Here it was given as a gift to worship him. Later, it was mixed with vinegar and put onto a sponge and held up to his mouth as he hung on the cross. And then it was brought by Nicodemus as part of the embalming process that took place when they took the Lord's body from the cross. Perhaps the reason for the presence of myrrh in the experience of the Lord Jesus from the beginning to the end of his life is to remind us that that which he did was rich and sweet in its achievements, in the redemption of his people, in the salvation of his church. And yet those very deliverances came at a great cost, his own life's blood and his own suffering and death. May the Lord God and God the Holy Spirit help us to remember how the wonderful message of peace and goodwill witnessed at the Lord's birth leads ultimately to the bitter cup which our Saviour drank to save us from our sins. Amen.